Welcome back to the Mastering Your Fertility podcast. This show is all about reclaiming health, enhancing fertility, and preparing for pregnancy. I'm Kristen Cornett, a holistic nutritionist and functional wellness practitioner at Tiny Feet.
And I'm Dr. Haley Knight, a naturopathic doctor and certified nutritionist at Synergy Women's Healthcare in Portland, Oregon. Our goal with this show is to educate and empower couples with the knowledge they need to get pregnant, stay pregnant, and have the healthiest baby possible.
Thanks so much for tuning in this week. We appreciate you being here, and we hope that you're able to learn something valuable to help you on your journey. If you're looking for more personalized one-on-one guidance for your health and fertility struggles, you can learn more about working remotely with me, Kristen, by visiting my website at tinyfeet.co, or you can schedule a free 20-minute phone consult now through the link in the podcast episode description. If you're local to the Portland, Oregon area, you can learn more about seeing Dr. Haley in person at her clinic by visiting drhaley.com. We've also created an online course together called Fertile in 5 Masterclass, which walks you through everything you need to know to prepare for a healthy pregnancy. To make this information more accessible during this time of economic uncertainty, Fertile in 5 is currently on sale for more than 50% off the regular price through June 1st, 2020, and you can learn more and get signed up through the link in the episode description. You can also get a preview of Module 3 of the course by checking out the How to Choose the Best Prenatal Supplements online mini course, which is also linked in this week's episode description. You're listening to episode 74, and it's a bit of a sad day here at Mastering Your Fertility as I am saying farewell to my co-host, Dr. Haley. Now, first of all, I just want to tell you guys, don't worry, the podcast isn't going anywhere. I just am going to be hosting it solo from now on. I am still planning to keep up with weekly episodes and will continue to bring in guest interviews on a variety of different fertility topics. I do want to say that I have had such an amazing time doing this show with Dr. Haley over the past year and a half or so, and it has really been an honor to host with her. So as much as I'll miss podcasting as a team, we all know that life moves in new and unexpected ways sometimes, and that requires us to kind of shift priorities and make big changes every now and then. So I'm going to let Dr. Haley take over and share what's been going on in her life, where she's headed now personally and professionally, and also talk about some of her favorite memories and episodes from the podcast. So take it away, Dr. Haley.
Oh, thanks so much, Kristen. Yes, this is a very sad day. I was really hoping to be a part of this podcast forever. I mean, when you first start the podcast, you never think about like when would be the end of it, right? You just plan on it to be forever part of your life. But a lot of things have changed in the last year and a half. And since we started the podcast, when we started in November of 2018, and what happened in the summer of 2019 was pretty serendipitous for me, and I was able to join an integrative clinical practice here in Portland, Oregon called Synergy Women's Health, which you guys may have heard about. And this really was meant to be for me. I'll give you guys a little background on why. So when I first moved here to Portland, Oregon in 2008, I was in a position where I needed a gynecologist, obviously. I needed a new doctor because I moved up here from Las Vegas, Nevada. And so I just kind of Googled and found somebody on my insurance plan and went to this doctor, and she was wonderful. And she actually placed a copper IUD for me, and it was great. And then I went on my way and I didn't really think much of it. And several years passed and I was going to naturopathic college, and I started realizing like, oh, you guys, I was in my young 20s, so I didn't really think much of that. I was like, well, maybe I should figure out like who that doctor was. I kind of just forgot her name, and I was like, oh, I need to find out who that doctor was that placed my IUD. I should probably have it like replaced at some point, just trying to get a little bit more responsible as I got older. And I realized that as I was in rotation at NUNM, clinical rotation, that we kept referring our patients to the gynecologist, Dr. Laura Corman. And I was also, again, looking for this doctor who placed my IUD, and lo and behold, it was actually Laura Corman who placed it. So it was one and the same. I was like, wow, she's really well known in the naturopathic community at our college, and she we refer patients to her all the time. That's amazing. So I reconnected with her. At this point, she opened up a new clinic in 2011 called Synergy Women's Health. And so I reconnected with her, and I was actually able to do some clinical rotations with her. And so I spent quite a few hours with her, seeing patients, her patients. And then she also had an ND who worked there, naturopathic doctor, Dr. Wendy Benoy. And I was able to do rotations with her as well. So it was a really great experience. We got to know each other. And I graduated in 2016 and went on my way. So obviously stayed in touch because I was still her patient. So I would see her like once or twice a year. And then when I found out I was pregnant, she did an early ultrasound for me. So that was around 7 weeks. And she was the first doctor to tell me that my baby's heartbeat was, you know, alive and well, and it was going about 137 beats per minute. And so that was a really fun experience. And Matt, my fiance, was able to meet her as well. And then we, or I went to work for Blossom part-time, and that's the same time that we, started Tiny Feet, Kristen and I, and the podcast. So I was working at Blossom Clinic, seeing patients, fertility patients, and, in the summer of 2019, I reached out to Wendy Benoy, who still works at Synergy Women's Health, to grab coffee. We connected on a different level, which is really funny. She posted a picture of a little foster kitten on Facebook, and I was just happened to be looking for a kitten at the same time. And so I reached out to her, and so I adopted this foster kitten from her. And so we stayed friends and had that kind of kitten connection. So we decided to go get coffee. And she told me that they were looking for another naturopathic doctor, especially one that focused on fertility, because she doesn't necessarily do fertility. That's not her wheelhouse. And I was just floored. I was like, really? You want me to work at Synergy? Like, that's amazing. Because I've always just been so in love with this clinic and the doctors there. And I just couldn't pass up this opportunity. So that happened in June, and then I started in September with my practice there at Synergy, and I've just absolutely been in love ever since. I had to go from part-time to full-time because to cover the expenses at Synergy does require a full-time practice, and I wasn't able to really focus to, you know, a lot more time that it was needed on Tiny Feet, but I decided I definitely wanted to continue doing the podcast. So bringing it all full circle, at this particular point, I am not really in a position where I can continue the podcast. And Kristen does an amazing job. She does a lot of the work in the background to make sure the podcast happens. And I know that she's going to be able to, you know, move this forward and have it be just amazing even without me. So I'm really excited that it's going to be in good hands. So I want to, the reason why I like to work in an integrative clinic as a naturopathic doctor here in Oregon, we have a full scope of practice. It's similar to like a primary care physician. We order prescriptions. We do gynecological exams. It's very hands-on, no pun intended, but it's something that I like to do with my patients. I like to be face-to-face with them. I don't do the greatest with just doing like remote work. And so that's not really where I wanted to kind of spend all my time. And I didn't really know that a couple of years ago. I thought maybe that would be great because I like the flexibility of like being anywhere in the world and I could do remote work. And maybe someday that will be what I really want. But because I'm still a blossoming physician, just out of practice, 4 years, that I still wanted to be able to build those clinical skills, and Synergy Women's Health is just an amazing place to be able to do that. So I'm really glad that I decided to make that decision to do that. It's just going to make me a better doctor overall.
Yeah, I think so too. Well, and it's an interesting testament to like how different we are and, what we want to pursue. And, I'm sticking with Tiny Feet. I've been managing the remote practice at Tiny Feet since November, solo. And so that is continuing on for anybody that wants to work remotely. I am still available and happy to help you. But Dr. Haley, I'm just really excited for you to build this practice at Synergy. I've seen how exciting and fun it's been for you since you've been there. And I just think you're going to do amazing with that work. And you're also getting to focus a little bit outside of fertility too, on some of the more general women's health stuff and really sharpening those skills outside of the fertility realm as well. So
yeah, that was a big piece of it too, is, I'm able to do the full spectrum of women's healthcare and do the appropriate like testings and exams and, everything that you kind of expect from just going to like your women's healthcare doctor. And that's something I just really love to do. And again, just want to make sure that I hone in those skills before I give up on them too early. many more years of practice to be able to make sure that I have those down pat and serving my patients the best that I can. So obviously, I have just a deep passion for preconception care and fertility, and that is definitely going to be something that I continue to focus on and work on and work with my patients with. And so I am still actually taking remote clients on a limited basis. And so if you do want to work with me and you are in another state, that is absolutely something that we can do. It's available on my website. But like I said, times are limited and I just don't take a whole lot of, remote, like out of state patients. And then obviously we're in the COVID-19 pandemic, which all of my patients are remote right now. So that's actually really funny that I'm saying like, oh, I like to work in person, but I do like to work in person, but I'm forced to work over telemedicine right now. Which has actually been totally fine, but it's not my ideal. So I do leave a little bit of room in my schedule for any remote clients. Because I do want to be able to serve where I can. And then,
you have
personally.
You have some other stuff going on too.
I sure do.
some personal stuff. So share away.
Man, yeah. Always something. So you've been listening to the podcast for a long time. If you have been, then especially if you've gone like way back to, episodes,
first 10,
12 per se, like we were really open about our health. Both Kristen and I have gone through a lot of health issues ourselves, and we really want to be open about that because we know that you guys can relate to that everybody has their own health struggles. And the more that we could be open and honest about what we're dealing with, the more it will help others. So I just wanted to give you guys a quick update on my health in case you care.
Of course and, they care.
And maybe it might be helpful to you, Also, maybe like, since this is the end of me being on the show, that it will be like wrapping it up in a nice little bow, even though health is like always an ongoing struggle, right? So back in episode 9, I explained that I do have small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, which is SIBO for short, and it's methane dominant, which means when you have overgrowth of methane producing archaea, or, some people call them bacteria, but anyway, that's semantics. It can cause constipation. So I've been dealing with constipation for quite a long time, that causes bloating and abdominal cramping and all sorts of uncomfortable IBS type of stuff. So yay for that. I've had to treat it several times with an elemental diet, and that was actually quite successful. And I was able to conceive my first baby in first and only baby right now, in 2017, early 2017. And then the thing is with SIBO though, is unfortunately in 2/3 of cases, it's chronic, meaning that it's like this condition that just, you have to manage almost your whole life likely, because once you have it, it just can come back and come back. It's like an autoimmune condition kind of, like where you relapse, like you get better, but then you can relapse and then you get better. So SIBO is very much like that in 2/3 of cases. And I, yay, get to be one of those 2/3 of cases. So that means that about once a year, I have to treat this condition again. So what I did is I, you know, obviously I've started to have symptoms again and still just not feeling so great. So I took another SIBO breath test and came back positive for methane, which I wasn't really surprised. And so now I'm treating with a lot of gut support, which includes like HCL for stomach acid, digestive enzymes. I'm also doing some certain fibers that help repair the gut lining and feed the good bacteria. And then also the really gentle kind of antimicrobials to keep the bacteria at bay is biocidin. We had a whole episode on biobotanical research, which talks about biocidin and some of their other products, which can be really helpful. If you don't want to do like a really strong antimicrobial type of protocol, then that is something you want to do. And I'm going to get to why I'm not doing a strong antimicrobial protocol right now. But it's actually working great. And I really have liked taking the biocidin so far. And I think it's been helping. So that's great news. And then I also started a prokinetic called Motegrity, which is prochlorhydride. I probably was saying that so wrong. But it was originally it's Resilor, I think is the brand name in Canada that was originally approved for IBS constipation that you can only get in Canada. And now it's approved in the US. It's called Motegrity, so it's under a new name. So it's approved again for IBS constipation and it's working great. So if you know anybody that has IBS, SIBO, constipation, methane, dominant, whatever, it is something that has worked great for me. And so I'm really happy about that experience. And so anyway, that is my SIBO story. And then you guys know that in episode 40, I talked about my experience of breast implant illness and recovering from explant surgery. So I had breast implants in 2005 and in 2019, last year in August, I had them removed. They were silicone breast implants, and there's been a lot of media talk and a lot of women very concerned about what's called breast implant illness, which is caused by implants, especially silicone implants. So this is definitely something that I experienced. My hair was falling out. My eyes were super dry. My skin was dry. My gums were bleeding. You guys, it was not good. So a lot of that has gotten better. I do have some residual joint pain, unfortunately, but I'm so glad I got those taken out. So I just wanted to give you a quick update. If you knew that I had the explant surgery, that things are definitely going in the right direction. And I'm continuing to work on it. The main thing I learned is that your health isn't just going to turn around 180 once you get the surgery. Like it's an ongoing, what happens is the implants really kind of reprogram your immune system to be hyperactive, to fight off this foreign body that's inside you. And it takes a while. It could take a year plus and a lot of kind of detoxing and supporting your body with whole foods, like a healthy diet and high antioxidants, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I have a whole kind of plan that I've been doing, but to retrain your immune system to have it stop being so reactive. So I'm continuing to do that. I still have a ways to go, I think. So that's that. In regards to doing some of the detoxing or like food as medicine idea for getting better, I did dive into some of the Anthony William medical medium stuff, which was kind of fun. He has a lot of information on how to use food as medicine. So things like cilantro and parsley and dragon fruit and wild blueberries and spirulina, barley grass juice powder. I can go on. He's super popular. You guys can just get a book if you're interested. I think he has a whole book on like healing foods. But I really wanted to use food as medicine. Kind of use food to my advantage. I have to eat it anyway, so I might as well have it be super healthy and high in antioxidants and help me heal before and after surgery. So that's been pretty successful. And then after I did all that, I was ready to try to conceive my second child. I really want to, you know, Aspen right now is 2 1/4. And so it's definitely time to have her have hopefully a little sister or brother. And so, we started to try to conceive last month, which was March. And, that was like our first month that we actively tried to conceive. And then the cycle was weird. I think I ovulated on day 14. I was doing all my temperatures, and on day 23, my temperature dropped down to like 97.6 again. So I was just waiting for my period to come. It usually is a 25-day cycle. But day 26, day 27, no period. So I tested to see if I was pregnant, and it was negative. So I was like, okay, that's odd. And so I waited another day, tested again, still negative. I even did one of those prove progesterone strips to see like, is my progesterone up or is it down or what's going on? And the progesterone strip was even negative. So that was just odd. So I decided to just stop testing. I thought maybe I just ovulated really late and then I just didn't notice that in my charting. And a week went by and I still didn't start my period. So, and I was actually feeling pretty good and my mood was fine. Everything was good. So I was just perplexed. And then I took another pregnancy test a week later, or not a week later, but like after a week went by, and it was positive. So that was really exciting. So it was a light line, but it was positive. And then the next morning I took another one, it's still positive. So I was like, okay. So for 2 days, my period didn't come again, still thinking like, oh, maybe this is a real pregnancy. And then, unfortunately my period did come like 3 days later. So it's about 5.5 weeks pregnant. And that was tough. So that was just a weird cycle. And the reason why I'm telling you guys this is because, I mean, I do this, you know, Kristen and I do this day in, day out. We do fertility, we do preconception, we do infertility, like, and it happens, you know, miscarriage is so super common and, it's so tough. I just wanted you guys to know that could happen to somebody with all the knowledge in the world. You know, obviously I don't have all the knowledge in the world, but it perplexed me, and it was just a real sad cycle. So
yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I know that's, you know, it's hard to go through, and it's hard to be in that boat when you know all the things to do, mm-hmm. and all the things to address, and you know you've done some really amazing work with your health, and you know I think it's a great sign that you were able to conceive, and hopefully that just means that you know maybe your body wasn't ready or just you know a little genetic abnormality, which happens, it's the cause for the majority of cases. And so, you know, I'm sorry that you had to go through that, but thank you for being willing to share that on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it was definitely tough, but just trying to look at the silver lining. And I just want to say, you know, anybody that's experienced a loss, I'm so sorry. And it definitely is just so hard, even when the loss gets later and later on in the pregnancy, you know, like it's just so devastating. And I just want you guys to reach out to your sisters, your mothers, your friends, like anybody that you can talk to about it. It should not be something that you suffer alone with. And any loss, even if you have any positive pregnancy test at all, is and you lose that, is considered a loss. And I want you to try to recognize that and you know, honor that. So some things that I learned. So obviously I did a lot of researching about, you know, questions, very common questions that I'm sure you guys have in regards to miscarriage. And we have some great episodes on miscarriage, but a few of the questions that I had was, okay, when can I start to conceive again? Which I'm sure is like probably the most common question that people have. And the most recent research from 2017, 18, and 19 has shown that it's actually more successful if you start to try to conceive within the first 3 months after a loss. So you don't technically need to wait another cycle. If you did have like a DNC, or depending on how late you were in the pregnancy, that may, you know, it may take a minute for your period to regulate and to come back and to kind of be a normal cycle again. But the research is showing that it's actually more successful to live birth if you start within the first 3 months. So that's actually kind of exciting, where you don't, like, how devastating if a doctor was like, oh, you have to wait 6 months before you can start trying again. They actually told women that in the past, like that's kind of what the research was showing. I don't know how that was possible, but so you don't necessarily have to wait a certain amount of cycles before you start trying again. And then tracking your temperatures can be a helpful warning sign, or help you like feel at ease during the pregnancy. So the progesterone that's being produced from your corpus luteum during that pregnancy stage. So once you have, you know, well, basically anytime during your luteal phase, your temperatures should stay elevated because that progesterone is being produced. So the fact that my temperature dropped at least one day earlier in my cycle was kind of an early warning sign that it probably wasn't like the stickiest of pregnancies, obviously. And then towards the 3 days before I started bleeding, my temperatures slowly started to drop back down, which basically meant the progesterone was dropping and dropping, dropping, and then, you know, you start your period. So tracking temperatures can help hopefully relieve you, or at least prepare you if something isn't necessarily going the right direction with the pregnancy. And then I did a little research on progesterone. So my last kind of like 3 or 4 cycles, I've been thinking that I'm lower on progesterone, unfortunately, just a little bit more stressed during this last, you know, 3 or 4 months. And so I was thinking about doing micronized progesterone vaginally. We've talked a lot about that. I think we just recently had an awesome episode about progesterone with Dr. Carrie Jones. So the research shows that if you have recurrent pregnancy loss or early pregnancy loss, which is before 10 weeks of gestation, and recurrent is either 2 or 3, depending on what, you know, how, who's defining that. So you could say 2, then it may be helpful to take progesterone starting 3 days post ovulation. If you actually take progesterone starting when you get a positive pregnancy test, the research has shown that there really hasn't been much of a difference for live birth. So a lot of OBGYNs or gynecologists don't give progesterone. Like if you show up, you know, you say, oh, I have a positive pregnancy test, can I get progesterone? A lot of them will just not want to do it. And for good reason, it's just not showing. It's almost like they missed the window, basically. Like if by the time you have a positive pregnancy test, you've kind of missed that like ideal progesterone window. So what the research shows is that if you start at 3 days after you ovulate and continue it into your pregnancy, then that's actually helpful for recurrent pregnancy loss. Now, if I had recurrent pregnancy loss, no, I've only had one. However, I am very much part of the like prevention. Like, do I really want to go through another miscarriage before taking progesterone? No, I don't. So, the great thing about progesterone is that there's very to little side effects. It really can only help. It doesn't do no harm. So why not? Right. That's kind of my thought, is like, why wouldn't I just use it?
When you had your temps too, to kind of give you some evidence that maybe progesterone wasn't at an ideal state based on your temperature. So I think it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So if any of you guys are wondering about taking progesterone, that's really what you need to talk to your doctor before you even start to conceive. And obviously this is the most important when you've already had a loss. So if you've already had a loss, then that's kind of when progesterone could be very helpful. All right.
So talk about what you're doing for preconception support for yourself, just so everyone can hear, like, what does your routine look like right now other than the progesterone?
Yeah. So my routine is very much similar to the routine that we talk about on the free How to Choose Your Best Prenatal Supplements course. And that is so high quality prenatal, which right now I take NFH, which is a brand in Canada. Do we have that one on the?
Oh yeah,
the NFH brand. Okay, yeah. So that's on our free course. NFH brand. I like that one because it's really high in active B vitamins, and I'm MTHFR homozygous, meaning I have both of those awesome genes. It causes it hard, makes it hard to like detoxify and process folate. So I want to have something with high active B vitamins. I also, in addition, take an active B complex by Integrative Therapeutics, just for that exact same reason, just to make sure that I have enough folate on board and B6 and B12. And that's going to be really important for like the time of conception and that like rapid cell division in the first couple of weeks. And then I take high potency vitamin D by Designs for Health, which is 2000 IUs of vitamin D per drop. And I just take like a drop or two every other day because my vitamin D is actually fine. I believe it's around like 45 or 50. And then I have vitamin D in the prenatal. I take Bone Nutrients by Thorn. This is very similar to the Osteothera nutrients that we recommend, or Bone Nutrients by Seeking Health. Basically, it's just calcium. I avoid dairy, so this is a reason, again, why it's very important to take a calcium supplement. It also has magnesium in it, and it has vitamin D and vitamin K2, which we talk about in the course. So vitamin K2 is often ignored in many supplements that has to do with preconception or prenatal supplements. And so taking Bone Nutrients is not only going to protect your skeletal bones, your bones while you're pregnant, but it's also going to support the health of the bones of the growing baby. So good to take. Choline. I take choline by Douglas Labs, and we love choline. Choline is actually a great, methylation vitamin. It's often not recognized as a vital nutrient for preconception care and pregnancy, but it helps with baby's brain development. We actually need quite a bit of choline for it to, you know, And by, I say quite a bit, that's around like 1,000 milligrams, and that's based off of the based off of a clinical trial where they showed that choline is improving intellectual health in infants with that high of choline supplementation. So who doesn't want to have a smart baby? I mean, I'm totally all about choline. So unfortunately it's hard to get in food. So I actually recently found out again, because I'm in denial, that I'm super sensitive to eggs. And the main source of getting choline is through eggs. The actual main source is through liver, but that's really hard to get on a day-to-day basis. So the second main source is eggs. And I'm no longer going to be eating eggs, unfortunately, because of my sensitivity. And that means I need to take around 1,000 milligrams of choline a day. So that's what I take. I also take EPA and DHA, which is fish oil. So 2,000 milligrams a day. I know a lot of you listening only take like 400 milligrams of DHA, because that's what the research says for like optimal brain health and pregnancy. But really, fish oil does so much more than just that. And it's very anti-inflammatory. There's a lot that we talk about in the free course on why we recommend 2,000 milligrams. So if you want to know more, then check out the free course. And then I take a probiotic, which is 25 billion CFUs. And I chose a probiotic that has bee and Banthus in it, which is a really awesome keystone species in our gut that I learned all about in our episode with Dr. Andrea Macbeth. So if you want to learn more, do you happen to have the episodes up right now? Do you know what episode that is? She talks all about bee and Banthus.
I want to say that it's 52 and 51.
Right?
51. Oh, she's so close. She's so close. I was really close. Yeah.
50. So she talks all about bee and Banthus. So if you guys want to know about this awesome keystone species and why it's so important for babies, and while you're pregnant and while you're nursing, please go check out that episode. The one I'm taking is Lacto Prime Plus by Claire Labs. And it doesn't have any prebiotics in it. It's really nice for people who have IBS like myself. And it does have bee and Banthus in it.
Cool.
That's it. That's what I'm taking.
Nice. Quite an overview. Yeah, very, very similar to what we talk about and how to choose the best prenatal supplements. So if you want to know why Dr. Haley is taking all of those things in depth, you can definitely find that in the course. Other tips, anything else you want to mention before we just do a little reminiscing about your favorite episodes before we wrap up and say goodbye to you?
Yeah. Can you tell that I feel like I'm like a mother leaving the net, you know, I'm just like, okay guys, do you have all of your, like your things in place? Don't forget your toothbrush. Like,
did you go potty before we get in the car?
Exactly. Okay. I just got to make sure that you guys have everything before I leave. Oh, so sad. Okay. The other tips that I am doing just in my own preconception journey, I really love, and I say this to my patients all the time, is using the Clear Blue ovulatory kits. This is something you can get, I just get off of Amazon, but you can get them anywhere. Obviously they're super popular, but I get the ones that are digital that are the smiley face. And so they have like the blinking smiley face says that you have good fertility, right? It's like testing your estrogen levels. And then there's a solid smiley face and that will be your LH surge. And the reason why I like this one is because the ORM, which is Oregon's Reproductive Medicine, which is like the massive, huge conglomerate of fertility specialists here in Oregon, that is the only one they will let their patients use.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, because it is the most accurate and easy to read. And, you know, you can't like obsess, because once you get a solid smiley face, it won't let you test again. It's just like, that's your peak and that's it. You're done. Like, you ovulated. So yeah, it's really clear and concise, and it's not very, It is a little bit more expensive, but I think it's worth it. So anyway, that's what I would recommend if you want to get ovulatory kits. The other thing is I like Kindara as a cycle tracking app. I recommend this to my patients all the time. I use it. I love it. It's really easy to keep your temperatures in it. There's lots of different tracking things that you can put in it. Like you can actually add all your own symptoms in it. So I pay $5 a month for like the pro version, because you can put all your symptoms in it. You have a journal in there. You can put all sorts of things in there. So if you have things that you're trying to track, like for me, I have, you know, my digestive issues and joint pain and stuff like that, that I like to just keep track of on a day-to-day basis and see if there's any correlation with my cycle or whatever it is. You can keep track of PMS symptoms. It's very versatile and has a lot of options in that app. So I like the Kindara tracking app. Are we getting paid for that? No, we're not getting sponsored by Kindara. Nope. Unfortunately. You're welcome, Kindara. Okay. That's it. That's all I got as far as tips.
So let's talk about some of your favorite episodes. We have done 73 of these guys together. So I know that like choosing just a handful of them to mention is probably hard, but what do you look back on most fondly from the podcast? What episodes were your favorite?
Yeah, this was really hard. There's so many good ones, and not to like, you know, toot our own horn or anything, but there's just so many good interviews, obviously. And as far as like some of the ones that we've done together, again, I really have to give Kristen credit for this too, but like we just had such like jam-packed amounts of information in there. And
a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Like stuff that I'm just like, I want to go back and listen to the episode because wait, what did I say about that herb again? It's like, that sounds amazing. Oh yeah, that was me. I said that. So I chose, how many did I choose? I chose 6, but I honestly could have gone on and chose like so many more, but I chose 6. So the one that I really like, and I actually chose these for half for me, but then also half for you guys, for you listening right now, because these are the ones that I feel like you'll get a lot of really good information out of, especially just even if you're like not even trying yet, if you're just like on your preconception journey or just wanting to get healthy or whatever it is, like these are really helpful episodes. And then there's a few in there just because I really loved these anyway. Episode 7. So this is way back, episode 7, building your preconception supplement routine. This actually is very much related to what I just told you, what I'm taking as my preconception care supplement routine. And we go into a lot of depth, similar to the course, the free course, into why we choose certain brands of prenatals, what's important to look for in a prenatal vitamin. And then we go into like the choline and the vitamin D and the K2 and everything else. It's really awesome. So it's a great episode to listen to. And then to like really to cement it into your brain, you can go and take the free course and then get the supplements.
The course gives brand recommendations, but I don't think that the episode does. So if you guys are looking for brand recommendations, you could start with the podcast episode and then get more information and brand recommendations from the free course.
Yeah, that's perfect. And then we offer our online medicinary supplement store, you know, and we give you, what is it, 15% off?
Yeah, it's 15% off.
Yeah, 15% off. And you can go in and reorder whenever you want, and it's delivered right to your house. It's amazing. So you should definitely check that out. But that's not why I chose this one. It's actually just a really great episode. So, I love episode 7. The next one is episode 25 with Amy Beckley. Do you have low progesterone with Amy Beckley? So she's this awesome scientist that has an incredible personal heart-wrenching story about recurrent pregnancy loss. This is actually related to kind of what I was talking about with the progesterone in my own story. And you know, I would listen to this episode just to hear her story, because it's just amazing what she's been able to do with her like tragic, you know, fertility story, and like turn it into this amazing business to help women better and more easily test their progesterone levels in their luteal phase. So you probably aren't familiar if you haven't listened to the episode, but basically she created this like pee on a strip at home progesterone test. And so you don't have to go to the doctor and get a blood test on like day 21 of your cycle. You just pee on this and it will give you like, yes, you have enough progesterone, or no, you don't. So it doesn't give you obviously exact number, like it's not digital. So it's not going to be like you have 13 or whatever, but it will tell you, you have enough, like you ovulated. So that's one point of the test, is just to confirm that you did ovulate and you're making progesterone. The second point of the test is to see, you can actually track your levels of progesterone. So that probably would have been really smart for me to do this, you know, last March cycle, is to see like, okay, is my progesterone staying high or is it dropping? So it's a really cool episode. I think people really liked it, and I think you will too if you haven't listened to it. Episode 27 is Egg Quality 101 with Jacqueline Chassey. She's a great, amazing colleague of mine that practices out of Connecticut. She's a naturopathic doctor. She actually taught some of these advanced fertility courses that I've gone through, and she's just really, really amazing. So she was on our podcast and we went through all of like the hormone testing, what it means. It's just jam-packed full of great information. If you wanted to know a little bit more about hormones, and especially if you're having trouble getting pregnant, this is a great place to start as far as like learning about egg quality.
She talks about like, I think it's four main things that impact egg quality and how those things come about and how to address them. Like how you picked one that I'm actually not involved in. I was super sick and couldn't participate in that interview.
Yeah,
so yeah, that is one that I happened to be absent for, but going back and listening to it later, it was an awesome episode, and it has definitely been a popular one on the podcast just because it is so valuable and provides such great info.
Awesome. Yeah. And then episode 44, this one's cool because I think it's just unique. It talks about 8 botanical herbs to know for fertility. So we dig into obviously 8 herbs, and, you know, Vitex is one, black cohosh is one. There's some other herbs that you probably just have never heard of on there. And, we give the reasons why they can be really helpful for fertility and just vitality in general. And it's kind of a fun episode to learn more about herbs and how they can play a part in your health and fertility journey. And then episode 61 is a really cool episode because it lists out all of the books that we absolutely love. And trust us, we've read so many books. Actually, every time we have an interview with somebody who's written a book, we have to read it. You know, we don't have to read it, but obviously that's the nice thing to do, is to read the book.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to read it. Like, you want to make sure not only that you're learning from the person, but also that, you know, you're creating an awesome experience for the listener too. Like asking things that, you know, are going to be really relevant to our audience. So,
yeah. So we basically chose our absolutely favorite books that we think are going to be the most helpful on your fertility journey, preconception care, fertility experience. And so, and we say like, this is for you if this applies to you. So, you know, like if that's a good book for you or not.
And I'm going to have to do another one of those what to read episodes, because I have a whole other collection. And, you know, new books are coming out all the time from awesome practitioners and clinicians that are doing really cool work and approaching fertility from lots of different ways, because different things work for different people. So I'll have to do another one of those coming up here pretty soon.
Yeah, such a good idea. Okay, the last episode. So this is number 6, but definitely not the least. Episode 66. Is endometriosis with Katie Edmonds, who's an NTP as well. And she is just such a dynamic, amazing person. She had her own experience with endometriosis and healing from that. And she has written this amazing book that I actually recommend to my patients who I feel like it applies to, called Heal Endo. No, her website is healendo.com.
Called the 4-week endometriosis diet plan.
Yes, that's the book that we talk about. But actually the thing I recommend to my patients the most is her Endo Belly
ebook. Oh, the ebook. Yeah, the ebook that she wrote. It's like really, it's super long, but it's like everything that you could possibly want to know about gut health and endometriosis, which is awesome.
It's awesome. And the drawings in there are awesome. And like the way that she talks is hilarious. Like she'll make little, you know, funny blurbs in the ebook. And she's really intelligent. Like she uses, you know, evidence-based medicine when she talks about the whole, you know, she goes through like the gut health and how to heal from endo. It's a really cool ebook and so worth the whatever $16 it is that she charges for it. And I actually would love to recommend it for people just like almost just like everybody that has any type of like gut issues. But I'm sure they would be a little confused when they're like, I don't have endo. Why am I reading this? But she just has so much good information just around the gut health in general, which is really cool. I think she's amazing. She's going places. And so I liked that episode. And I hope that, Kristen, you'll have her back on again someday.
Oh, I'm sure I will. Yeah, Katie's awesome. And it's lovely to have another colleague out there sharing the word about women's health and chronic illness and sharing a lot of really actionable and awesome solutions for other women. So
yeah.
Oh man, this episode, it felt like it flew by and came to an end too soon. And I can't believe that this is the last time that we're going to be doing this together on this podcast. I'm like going to get a little teary or something over here. But it has been a real pleasure to do this with you for the last year and a half. And it has been so much fun and we've learned a lot from each other. And yeah, I love you. I'm going to miss you.
Oh, I love you too. You know what? We live like a mile away from each other. So.
Well, I know, but it's
we'll definitely see each other. It totally is different. It's so different.
We'll still, you know, consult on each other's cases and stuff that we already do anyway. So we are definitely going to remain friends for sure, but it will be sad not to be able to connect and do this every week like we have been for the last year and a half. So, all right.
Well, listeners, you are in very, very good hands. And, absolutely excited to leave this podcast in Kristen's very intelligent ways. I don't know what I'm trying to say. I'm just no, I'm just kidding. I think you guys should be really excited that she's taken on the podcast because I feel very comfortable with her moving it forward, and I'm excited to be able to be an active listener and no longer an active participant. As you guys know, I have a lot on my plate and trying to, you know, expand my family and expand my practice. And there's just really only so much you can do without going absolutely crazy. So this is definitely the right decision. And I really appreciate all of the awesome responses and emails back saying how much you guys love the podcast. Thank you so much for the reviews. If you haven't left a review and you like the podcast, please do, because it helps get this information out to more people. And I'm super proud of the work that we've done so far. So,
all right. Well, we can continue our sappiness offline. I think we'll end it here for listeners, but thank you again so much, Dr. Haley, for your amazing contribution to this show and for being a colleague and a friend these past few years as we kind of endeavored on something completely new. You know, neither one of us had ever done a podcast or really like started an online business. And so it was awesome to do this with you as a partner, and I wish you well in everything that you're going to do going forward.
Thank you so much.